awesome. Can I just read you guys something? So okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just share with you guys, you know, there's a lot of questions about gifts and Holy Spirit. And, you know, I think in years past and even up to now, the way we allow the gifts to operate on Sunday morning, sometimes people feel like we don't operate enough and some people are intrigued by the gifts. And it's a pretty complicated issue on Sunday because of the amount of people and not knowing everybody in our midst. And so we try to be really careful. So I actually wanted to share three thoughts just to let you know about my heart, where we stand, what we believe. And then we'll get into the panel a little bit. So I am passionate about gifts, Holy Spirit. I love the word of knowledge. I love prophecy. People very often will contact me with visions and dreams. I've operated in all of those things myself. They have been sometimes just, it really is from the heart and the throne of God because they were right on time. I can't describe how many times this happened. And there have been times where I've operated in that as well. And you know when it lands, when people start crying or there's just a refreshing of somebody's spirit. And so I just want you to know I believe in that. I am passionate, though, about people not dishonoring God with what we have been given to use. Okay, so let me explain what that means. I do have a frustration at times about the glorification of the gifts. See, we use the gift, and the gift is simply something that's been given, but it is for the edification, the building up, and the empowering of somebody else, right? And so I don't want us to ever misuse the gifts or make the gift bigger than the Lord or anything else. I don't want us to be high gifted and low character. Amen. Yeah. Right? I want us to always be building our character. I want, you know, we all have to grow in our gifts and we all have to grow in our character, but we just want to make sure that we're taking care of both and we're growing in both. And here's some of the reasons why is because I've seen people greatly hurt when the gifts or even the freedoms that we have been misused. I haven't actually seen it often here. Pastor Chris may know of some examples, but for the most part, we try to do pretty well in honoring the Lord in that way. But I've counseled a lot of people who have, they've lost faith in the Lord, or they've been hurt, or we've had to walk them through process, or they've been discouraged, or whatever, because somebody in zeal, or maybe in lack of knowledge, didn't use the gifts correctly. So I am pretty passionate about just making sure we use those correctly. And if we're being honest, and I always like to be honest, maybe too much, sometimes the excesses within Pentecostal circles have hurt the Pentecostal church. And I mean, I'm sure we can say that about a lot of denominations, but sometimes people judge us by our excesses instead of the reality of how we think, how we live our faith, and how we operate. Anybody with me? Okay. And then lastly, I'm really passionate about asking for and using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, listening for the Holy Spirit, and then being really good stewards of it. Because I think there's an incredible responsibility with anything that God gives us, that we need to make sure we're accountable and that we're being good stewards with what God has given us. So that's it. Now we can get started with questions.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to, I shouldn't be up there. I should be like kind of walking around and free to ask questions. Okay, so these are the questions. I don't know that we'll get to all of them just because you guys can decide if there's like a part two to this or when we can get to this, but I'm going to, here we go. How do you use the gifts in everyday life? Why don't we start with Pastor Chris?
I'll start. One of the things that we talk about as a team here is that we need to be, it needs to be normal. Yeah. The gifts of the Spirit need to be normal, not something that I'm stirring up or making up, but it needs to be my normal part of my life. And sometimes you have to be intentional about that. And I think a lot of it is preparation. I just don't just go to Walmart or those are my favorite places to shop. Walmart, Starbucks,
Target.
So if you see, you'll see my car at any one of those places. So, but if you know, but I think about it before I go in. Or I think about, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Or begin to ask him. And then one of the things I would say is in your everyday life, it's and the gifts of the Spirit, whether they're in church or outside of the church, they need to be filtered with the love of God. You know, I don't want to operate in Chris Ford. I want to operate with the goodness of the Lord, the love of God, the that fellowship that I'm having with Holy Spirit. I don't want to operate out of my own flesh, but only by His Spirit. And so I would say be intentional when you're inside and outside of the house. And then also it's got to be seasoned with the love of God.
Anyone else want to add super quick?
So I will say too is doing it in the home. So I grew up in a home where that was modeled for me. So prayer was modeled for me. Healing was modeled for me. When I was sick, my mom will anoint me first before we go to the hospital. We rarely ever went to the hospital unless my dad was back home from travel. But communion was a big part of our lifestyle. So making it normal is home first. I think we do these things at home so our kids can see it. And that they grew up and they see it as normal. And so I think my encouragement is to all the parents and all of us is that make it normal at home. You know, pray for your kids, prophesy. My parents encouraged me to dream up until this point. My mom still tells me when I dream, it's a God dream because she modeled that for me growing up. And so make it part of your home life, speak in tongues. My mom actually prayed for my sister to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So again, make it part of home life so it becomes normal for them growing up.
Does someone want to touch on, I think, just adding to this, marketplace? Like, is there an example of maybe where the gifts of the Spirit, apart from a Sunday morning, how that would fit, like, in a business context?
You know, I guess what I would add is just, I'm not that far removed, about 2.5 years from the business world and as an executive. And I knew that kind of basically what Naomi was sharing was, what you do at home will follow you on your job. And I'll never forget, I had an operation, and Pastor Mark comes from UPS too, along with myself, and had an operation about 335 people. And before they started their work, I would walk the areas that they worked in, and I would be praying. And one day I was a little bit behind getting there, and we all had radios because the facility was rather large at UPS. And one of my supervisors got on the radio as I was walking past some of the other part-time supervisors getting ready to work. And he says, hey, Terry, are you okay? And I answered, why? What's wrong? And what I realized was I was praying, and I was praying in the Spirit as I was walking in the building, as I was walking through the building. But that was part of what I do at home. So it ends up following you as you go into the marketplace. And people want to know, why are you so different? They will ask that question. You won't have to hand out 20 flyers on Easter to see if you can get people to come. They will notice that there is something different happening with you in the marketplace.
That's good.
So I would encourage you, be yourself and just take it to the marketplace.
That's good. Can I move to another one? Or do
can
you
I just tell a funny story?
Yeah.
About that. Well, I went to Disney World with my daughter. Clyde had a free trip there, and anyway, she wanted me to ride this ride with her, and I said, okay, I hate rides. I don't know. Anyway, so she wanted to get in the shortest line, which was the most extreme, and I'm like, oh, I love my daughter, but I don't really want to do this. So it was some rocket blast kind of thing, and so I got in there, and they strap you in, and then next thing you know, you tip all the way back, and you just get this force going. And it's like 4 G's, I think, is what it was. And I just started praying in tongues. And everybody. And I thought, what you do at home just comes out in my head.
I think one other thing. So just on a practical note, there's times when you can be, you have somebody that you work with. And if you pray for them, you know, and the Lord gives you a word or something for them, you don't have to go, hey, brother, I got a word from the Lord for you. I just wanted to share it with you. You just approach him and go, Hey, Bill, can I ask you a question? Man, when I saw you, I just had this thought.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see if this made sense to you. And then you can go, yeah, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to share that with you. I'm praying for you. Can I pray for you right now? Really simple. I mean, I know a lot of you guys do that, but maybe some people are intimidated by that. But just making it just normal, you know, because God is really good and He speaks to His people.
Okay, so that leads to the next question. What if I get it wrong? Pastor,
hey, Bill,
yeah.
Did this land on, did this make any sense to you? No? Okay. I don't know why that thought popped in my head. Move on. Yeah, that's it.
So just move on. All right. Can I move on? No one else? Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
okay.
So I've gotten it wrong several times. And so I think that we have to realize, number one, we're human. Okay. And so we still can get it wrong. God can say something and we may miss it. For example, if I see it, if I'm praying for Logan and all of a sudden I say, God, show me something about Logan. And I see a music note on top of his head, just in my mind. Oh, and I go, I say, brother, you're going to be an amazing musician and God is going to use you and you have the talent and all of this. And then Logan says, no, I don't play music. Right. I don't even. And but what did that mean? So sometimes God will show you something and you jump ahead and thinking you understand what it means. But what if I just say, hey, man, I've seen a musical note on your head. Does that mean anything? He may say, no, it doesn't mean anything. And we leave it at that. Huh, okay. But he may say, you know, I really like music. And I was actually thinking about buying a business that had to do with music. And I wasn't sure. It was just a prompting. So getting it wrong, sometimes we may jump ahead and think that we know what we're sensing. But sometimes we are going to get it wrong because we're human beings. And we just move on, as Pastor Jason said.
Can I ask, just to tag on to that, since we're in this culture where we're trying to nurture that, talk to us, maybe Naomi, about the other end of receiving a word that does not land. I mean, I can add to it, but I want to hear someone else's. Have any of you been on the, let's put it that way. Have any of you been on the receiving end? Like, how do you respectfully and politely do that?
Yeah.
I think it's a valid question.
Well, yeah. And I think even we've gone to IHOP several times to prophetic words, and some of them are like, nah. And that's fine. It's like, okay. But there's a Bible verse that says we prophesy in part. We don't have the full mind of Christ. We only have part of it. So we don't have the capabilities to communicate all of God's knowledge over people. So we only prophesy in part. And so you being gracious to people, and if it's not right, it's not right. Write it down, pray about it, and move on. No big deal. But if you want to grow, we have a prophetic training coming up. I got to put a plug in. April 5th. 9:30. So, no, come get trained and come, you know, get equipped to release right words. But again, we're all growing in grace. And so if somebody That's gives good. A prophetic word that is not on, write it down, move on. No big deal.
That's good.
So I would tell you that I would probably go, oh, thank you. I'll pray into that, even if it's wrong. Yeah. Right. My wife would go, nope, you missed it. And she did it when we were dating. There was somebody in her house and they were meeting in a women's group, and I think we were engaged, and somebody said, I know who your husband is and your husband is waiting for you.
Yeah, give that some context as to why I did that.
And,
okay.
And she said, nope, you missed it, and moved on. It just went on through the house.
So one quick thing when it comes to missing it, I've received words that were not accurate in the moment, and sometimes they were released to me. And it was what we could say was anachronistic, which is in the future, hasn't happened. And that happened with my sister. And I did exactly what Pastor Jason said. I said, you know what? Huh, Nikki, that really doesn't make sense right now, but I'm putting it in my back pocket. And it was after Pastor Walt left. And 6 months later, boom, it was like, that word she said. And it was just one phrase that she used. And it was pivotal for decision making and moving forward. So sometimes don't dismiss that. Just say, okay, I'll pray into it and maybe even write it down. And then at the time when you need to pull that word back out, perhaps the Lord will remind you.
Okay. There was one other time too when I can't remember if it was in transition. And we just all of a sudden at a team meeting on Tuesdays, that's when we meet, the Lord just began to prophesy through people. We went through everybody on staff. And there were a couple of words that one of them was, there was somebody on staff and it was said that a big change is about to come your way. And she went, no, it didn't land. 2 days later, Nicholas stepped down and Sarah was put into the position as communications director. And nobody knew that Nicholas was stepping down. So, it, you know, you always step out on a limb and you hope that it's right.
And just for the sake, I was engaged at the time that that person said that. That's why I answered so firmly. But can I move on to another question? I'm going to override that. No, did you have some on that? Or can I ask another one?
I was going to say, I just called 911 on them. They got it all wrong.
I don't know that some of the stuff we're saying is landing in here because people aren't laughing very much. So let's lighten up a little bit. Okay, let's move into, like, yeah, it's okay. Have fun. Let's move into the actual conference itself. There's some of the questions that I want to get into. If you were here on Friday night, why did Corey stop preaching and praying on Friday night? Like, what was it about that Friday night?
For me, I felt a real resistance, and I felt it exactly the same thing the year before. And I felt like it was really wise just to stop and get breakthrough, invite Holy Spirit to come and get breakthrough from whatever was hindering the situation. I also think that there could have been a little bit, everybody had an expectation of Corey, 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 but I think it took the focus off of him and put it back on the Lord. So.
That's great. What was personality and what was true Holy Spirit? I'm not sure if this refers, I don't know, that's how the question was asked in reference to what, maybe we could say what is personality versus Holy Spirit, or do we just scratch that?
Well, I could say this. If you hear me give you a word, it's going to be somewhat different than Pastor Jason giving you a word. Okay, if we're talking about prophecy or word of knowledge, just because it will be, it will come through my personality. So I'm a little bit more rah, right? And so, and perhaps Pastor Marcus can tell you, you know, hey, brother, you know, that was very dumb. And I will use other words. So, you know, it's just, so personalities play into how God uses you. So sometimes we attach ourselves to a personality. We say, man, I really love the way this brother, this sister ministers, right? But then somebody else will say, oh, they're not as anointed. Well, do you really know that? Perhaps you really don't. It's just you like this person's personality a lot better. You connect to them a lot easier. And that happens in the gift. So sometimes we need to make sure that we separate the two. The gift from the personality of the person.
Yeah, I'd add, sometimes we think the louder the person is, the more anointed they are. And I don't agree with that. Coming from a loud person, like, I totally get that. okay, which leads to the next one. How do we respond when people are so loud? Could we, that's all that was asked. I'm assuming if it's that Friday night, perhaps there was a person who, the environment was quiet, yeah, and they reacted or responded probably in their personality as to what God was doing to them. You want to talk
about that? So there was a guy who began to yell, and I would never do this normally, but I couldn't get his attention. So when we're in an environment like that, sometimes the demonic will act up to imitate and really to distract. And so what people don't realize a lot of times is even in your pure, honest wanting to worship, because there are other people here, sometimes if you become very outside of what is happening in the room, everybody's eyes begin to focus on you. And so what is pure and honest to you becomes a distraction. And so we just try to get people to honor the room and honor other people and hoping that they don't feel like they're being robbed in their expression. But this guy began to cry out loud, loud. And so I didn't know if it was demonic or not, if I'm being honest. So I went over and Terry went over and Terry's tapping on his shoulder. And I just said, hey. And he looked and I said, calm down, and in just a minute, I want to talk to you. And that was it. And here's how you know that if it wasn't, it would have started again. It would have been more of a distraction. So I had a conversation with him. I said, hey, man, I didn't mean to interrupt you like that. I want to tell you why we were doing this. And he was like, oh, that's okay. I was just excited because Corey was excited and I was responding and he was a young Christian. And so it's just sometimes, you know, you can go back to Acts when Paul set that girl free from demonic possession. Right? Because she was crying out constantly, being a distraction. And so we just have to be aware of what's happening in the room. I don't know if that answers the question perfectly, but that is what happened.
Yeah, can I add something to that real quick? You know, as we were dealing with him, this individual, I stayed over there with him and just at a distance. And he did settle down. And I just felt like the Lord impressed upon me at the end of service, near the end of service, to go back to him. And as I went back to him, I found out, you know, he doesn't go to our church. He does that in his church. And I just kind of explained, hey, this isn't how we want to do it. And, you know, and just loved on him to make sure that he fully understood that, yeah, this is out of line here. I know you may go back to your church to do it. But we still love you in the midst of that. It was very important to lay that foundation with him. Because I will tell you, what shocked me was right after that, he looked at me and he says, well, can I tell you what the Lord's telling me about you? And can I tell you, he was 100% right. He sat right there and spoke into my situation. I was almost literally in shock. Nothing shocks me anymore. But I was pretty close because of where he started. But the important thing is where he ended.
I think, too, at the end of the day, the person leading the meeting is kind of who you watch, and you follow the point. And if there's any, they're accountable to God, and believe me, they'll have to stand before God. So we as people just, I think, need to honor, like, hey, what's Pastor Chris feeling in the moment? What's Pastor Jason, et cetera? And if they miss it, they miss it. No big deal. That's just my two cents. Pastor Mark?
I just say that you're going to, we're dealing, you know, with humanity, and we're gonna run into all sorts of different scenarios, situations. We even see it in the scriptures. Paul, his letter to the Corinthian church was to bring correction to the way the church was operating. You had the sorcerer that wanted to buy the gifts that they had to deal with, and it comes down to listening to the Holy Spirit and getting guidance on how to handle the situation, and not overreacting, but not underreacting either. You want order, which Paul emphasized in his writings, you know, order to the use of the gifts and then the manifestation of the gifts for those that are hearing it so they can hear it properly, respond properly, and apply it properly. So it's all a matter of taking control of the situation under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to say, you know, with the guidance of the scriptures and what we see in the scriptures as well is giving us guidance as well and examples of how to respond in different situations.
That's awesome. All right, moving on. Why do people pray in tongues in a public setting? Isn't that for a church setting? I'm just reading the question. Was that question asked? Was it
so
stated?
If I'm thinking, why do people pray publicly, or why do people speak in tongues publicly, isn't that for a private setting? So is that where we're...
It says public.
It probably should. Because if you're saying, why do people speak in church, in tongues in church, isn't that for public? Well, church is public. So... I'm going to assume that was a typo and speak into that just briefly. So there's a difference between your prayer language and praying in tongues in the way of prophecy. Okay. So when Paul was talking to the Corinthians and he said, you know, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I wish that you all would prophesy because, you know, one who speaks in tongue edifies himself. But when you prophesy, you edify the church. So there is the prophecy for the edification of the church. There's the speaking in tongues to build the inner man. So the difference in that is this.
In Romans chapter 8, it talks about that the Spirit, when we do not know how to pray, the Spirit helps us pray with groaning and sounds and things that we cannot even interpret. I don't know about you, but the most powerful prayer in my whole entire life as a believer, I did not understand anything I said. Okay? And if you ever been there in a moment where you are so pressed, almost like those grapes where you get the wine from, and you were in such a turmoil and desperation that the Spirit of God within you begins to pray. Now, that's prayer language, right? That is, you don't understand. God is praying through you, and you speak in mysteries, the Bible says. That is one tongues. Now, when we talk about prophecy in tongues in a public setting, like if it happens right now, if we are all, and I think somebody mentioned it about the, like where the meeting is going, where somebody's leading a meeting and he says, hey, let's pray in our prayer language, right? That is okay. We have right now, Pastor Chris, Pastor Jason, Pastor Mark, whoever's leading the meeting has given us the freedom to pray in our prayer language. We are edifying ourselves. Okay, what's God saying to me specifically? God is speaking something over me, whatever. But then if we are just worshiping all of a sudden and you go crazy in tongues and nobody else is doing it, there has not been any permission given, then you may perhaps be a little bit out of line. But when that happens at times, there's an interpretation that comes. And I don't know if there's any questions about tongue and interpretation of tongues, because I have a whole lot to say about that,
no,
too, but I'll shut
not,
up now.
But I think we are asked that question. I know PJ and I are asked that quite often. Like, why do people get in a mic and say, hey, let's all pray in your prayer language right now? Because they are confused between that, what you just explained, and what needs an interpretation. So, Pastor Chris.
There's the prayer language that we see in Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. That's that prayer language that we see. And when it talks about praying in the Spirit and in Ephesians, I'm sorry, is that Ephesians 8? I'm sorry, what book of the book? Yeah, but there's something, there is no Ephesians 8. I'm sorry, I'm lost in my mind. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 8, 8:26, so it says pray in the Spirit. Sorry, my mind was lost there for a second. But anyway, that is your prayer language. But there's also the gift. There's a gift of the Spirit that's listed in the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. It sounds the same way, but one is the gift that's for, actually it talks about it's for the non-believer in a setting. It's to bring that non-believer to that place of understanding. And then the other one is a prayer language. So it's really two separate things. They're both the same Greek word, but there's a different function.
I just say the simple way of kind of remembering it, too, is when it comes to the prophetic, if the public use of tongues, remember it's listed in 1 Corinthians 12 as a gift. Gifts are given. So with the tongues in a public setting, the Holy Spirit gives you that urging to speak that, as well as the gift of interpretation is given to interpret that. With your prayer language, that's received with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have that, and you can initiate it anytime you want. Yeah. The public gift is given, so therefore it's initiated by the Holy Spirit at the time that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself in that form.
That's great.
Real quickly, when Pastor Mark is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand, because another question that has come my way, at least, and I'm pretty sure that some of you have heard it. Well, if I don't speak in tongues, then does that mean that I'm not saved, that I don't have the Holy Spirit? So listen to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. I'm just going to read from 13, but it says, in him you have also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. What does that mean? That means that when you believe in the word of truth, when you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, Holy Spirit is given to you as a deposit. It's given to you as saying, hey, guess what? He or she has been purchased, and it is towards our inheritance, what is to come, right? So every single one of us in this place, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, you have Holy Spirit. What Pastor Mark is talking about is in Acts 19?
So listen to the difference on just, I just want to touch on this just real quick for whatever person may have this one. So Paul, when he's in Ephesus, he says that, so it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, that Paul, having passed through to the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. He found some disciples there. He asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." They were believers. They were disciples. So then he said to them, "Into what baptism were you baptized?" "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized you into a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him, and it should come after him is Jesus Christ." And as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. You see the difference? So in Scripture, we see right there the model that there were some that have believed. They had the Holy Spirit. But then Paul was like, "Hey, have you heard the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit?" He prayed. Boom. Here we go.
How do you feel about those in leadership, small group leaders, potentially staff? This person is asking, should it be a prerequisite to be a leader, being filled in tongues? Sorry. Should being filled in the Holy Spirit be a prerequisite to be a small group leader or to be on staff?
I think for pastoral staff, yes. I don't know if that's the line in the sand for every person that comes on staff. I think there's fruit in people's lives, and that's what we desire most of all: salvation, fruit, character, fruit of the Spirit, things like that. And I think a lot of our people have, but I don't think we ask that as a employment qualification. No.
As a single person who is looking to get married one day, how should I rely on Holy Spirit to lead me to the right person?
Go to the young adult event on Friday, February 21st.
Yes!
They're going to talk about the love languages. I would say, first of all, you have to make, if you're looking for a spouse, make sure that you're ready first. Get yourself ready first, and make sure you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit and not the leading of the Holy Spirit according to myself or what I want. Because sometimes, oh, God's doing this for me. Oh, I can feel it. I know God said, or God said to break up with this person, but we really wanted to date somebody else anyway. I used to hear that with my kids when they were growing up all the time. And so they would always use Holy Spirit as the excuse. Don't do that. Don't do that. Wait on the Lord. If you don't hear from the Lord, don't go. Don't do it. So, but go to the young adult event on Friday the 21st.
You know, I guess what I would add is just maybe my personal experience, and that was I remember being at a very large church. We had a very large youth group, about maybe 1,300 people. And every Wednesday night, 400 to 500 young people would come to the altar and linger and wait. And I remember one time I was at the altar, the Lord spoke to me. And this is exactly what he said. He said, "Stop dating everybody else and date me. Stop dating everybody else and date me." And I stopped dating everybody else. And I went after God hard. And I went after him for 8.5, 9 months. I focused on God. I went after him. And it was probably about that 8.5, 9 months later, I'm at the altar. And as I was sitting at the altar, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "Look to the right." So I looked to the right. Well, there's 300 young people. And I got back to praying, and the Spirit said, "Look to the right." And I looked to the right, and I can tell you, here's exactly what happened. It was like the Red Sea parted, and I saw this beautiful, young, blonde-haired lady sitting there in prayer at the altar with her hands open like this. And she was praying, and the Lord said, "That's your wife." So we went out on our first date, and we went to my folks' house, and we sat on the love seat. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just a little two-seater. And the seat was here. The TV was there. She was sitting here. I was sitting here. And I was just looking at her. And she turned around and looked at me. And we've been married now 36 years. But she turned around and she looked at me. She says, "What are you looking at?" And the Bible says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak." Well, guess what? My mouth spoke. And I wish I could have stopped the words, but I'm glad I didn't. Here's exactly what I told her. "You're going to be the wife and the mother of my children." That was the first date. And yeah, yeah, that's how it happened. And 36 years later, we're still dating. But here's what I found. All right, we're still dating each other.
I don't know that you should lead with that.
Yeah. Holy Spirit led Terry. Doesn't mean he's leading you.
You know, but I will tell you this. You know, the word for dating means intimacy. And here's what I found out. When I left her, because I was in a Christian band at the time going around the country, when I left her, my heart ached. I missed her so much. I cannot tell you how much I missed her. And here's what I realized. That's how God is with us. Yes. When we're not dating him, there's an ache that God desires for us to come and be intimate with him. So that's what I would share.
Next question. We refer to Good News as being a house, a family, and God the Father is the head of the house. God also says that his house should be called a house of prayer. Is Good News Church a house of prayer? Is this an area we want to grow in as a church? Pastor Jason.
No, we don't want to grow in prayer at all. I mean, it's one of those questions, y'all, that are we going to be like a house of prayer of the one in Council Bluffs? I don't think so. I feel like our mandate is different. I feel like this is a ascending center, a developing place. I think we're always going to, I feel like we're rich in prayer. I feel like there's depth in prayer. I think people are trained in prayer. But I think there's other things, too, that we need to do, which is discipling, empowering. And so I would say both and not either or. And what we tend to do is we tend to think in either or segments. Well, this is what I believe we should do at the expense of everything else. But I feel like our prayer actually adds value to everything that we do. And so I hope we grow in prayer as well as the other things that we're mandated and called to do as well. Pastor Chris, do you have anything?
We have three prayer meetings a week, or three prayer meetings a day. Sorry, more than three a week. We have three a day. And so I believe if people really wanted to have this house of prayer, it's available to you.
Yeah, it's good.
All you have to do is come.
That's good.
Because there's people there every time.
That's good.
I would also say, add on to this, God has been shaping the identity of this church for the last 12, 15 years. And we've been letting him shape the identity of this house. Even Pastor Walt said, "I don't have a vision. I have God's vision. I don't have my own vision. I've got God's vision." Because he recognized God's shaping and needs to shape the identity of this house. We don't have to mimic anybody else because God's going to give us our identity. That's the identity we want to pursue. And so it may smack of being like the house of prayer or Bethel even or IHOP or whoever, but God is shaping our identity, and that's the identity that we're pursuing and praying into.
So good. What does leadership feel that Holy Spirit is doing here at Good News? Anything specific? Like specific, not, well, he's moving and empowering. Like, we know that. Specific.
Go ahead, Pastor Chris.
If you were here on the Saturday night of the conference, there was that long time of just silence. We've experienced that four times in the prayer room since then. Four times, and it's just that hush of silence, thickness of the Holy Spirit. I just feel like God is just, we're receiving kisses from heaven, if you will. I feel like that's kind of what he is. He's delighting in this place. He's really pouring out to those that are hungry and waiting on him. And I think a lot of, when we talk about house of prayer or there's some other questions on here. I think a lot of that comes to us personally. am I going to dive into this? Am I going to pursue after the Lord more? I think there was even a question about, you know, Corey Russell had gave us this, you know, are we going to follow some of the things that Corey Russell asked us to do? A lot of that starts personally. One of the things that he said was about this year should be a war against your bed. Are you going to get out of bed? And it really was about prayer and pursuing him. So again, I'm going to go back to just say a lot of this begins personally.
I would like to say that another thing, in addition to what Pastor Chris said, I think the Spirit of God is really touching our lives in a personal way to be about it, to be believers, to walk out what we say we believe. And I think that that's something that has been very apparent in our team, that God is just challenging us personally. But then I think that's filtering through and coming to the rest of this family. And I don't know how many people I talk to on a Sunday morning that say, man, God is saying this to me. God is saying this to me. I had a brother that said, all he told me after one of the services was just too much talking, not enough action. And he walked away. And I chased him. So I'm like, no, 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 that's not fair. You got to explain what you meant. So I go chase him down. He's like, man, I'm just talking too much, but I'm not acting on it. So a whole lot of Christianese, things that sound good and sound faith-filled, but there's no walk behind it. And I truly believe that God is challenging us to actually, in a season of actually walking out what we say we believe.
I will say one of the things I'm seeing more and more is God is raising up a lot of prophetic people in our church just because of where I sit and the things I hear. We had a young boy, he's what, seven, Jessica's son, had a dream that Terry had. I mean, they don't even know each other, same dream. And so one of the things we're seeing is that God is just raising up the gift of prophecy of this church in very unique ways, and it's pretty amazing.
And I would say, so my responsibility is to look big picture, long term, right, in the season. And so right now there's a little bit of a realignment that I recognize and that we're working toward that maybe is not as public as what we will be talking about pretty soon. But understand also that we need to use a lot of wisdom in bringing change. A lot of people can't handle change. We need change in small bits, and we need a lot of explanations and getting people ready. And so there was a person who sent me. I'd had a conversation with my wife on a Monday night, and I told her, I said, I feel at this place in time, I am supposed to be extremely careful of decision-making changes. We need to be very careful about what we're doing, very intentional. We're taking our time. We're listening to Holy Spirit. We're listening. On Wednesday, I get an email, and on that email, the person said, I saw you in a vision, and in the vision, you are walking on uneven ground, and you are having to think about every step that you take. You can't see before you. You can't see behind you. You have enough light to see where you're stepping, but even that, you have to take great care. And I went, thank you, Lord, because exactly what I sensed he was telling me to do. And so I'm a person who loves to run. I like doing stuff, but right now we're in a season of realignment, and we use a lot of wisdom in how we go about that.
This might be the last one, based on time.
We need more of the controversial things, if there is anything. I want to make sure that people
who... Oh, you want controversy, okay.
Well, if there's people talking about it, or they want to talk about it, I want to make sure we talk about it.
Okay, here we go. Buckle up. I'm just kidding. Not really, but the first question is, as leaders in the church, do you feel like we teach and preach, emphasize Holy Spirit enough or not enough? Be honest.
Well, I think my own personal opinion is that when it comes to that question, do we emphasize teaching about Holy Spirit enough or not enough? I think that in our context, there are many people here that will love if we would teach on Holy Spirit every weekend. And I understand that because of who we are. We're Pentecostals. We believe in the gifts and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we need doing enough in a simple way? I would say probably not. But the reason for that is we're trying to bring about other things to the plate because we all need a balanced diet, okay? So protein and meat is really, really good. But if that's all you eat 24/7, you're going to be lacking in other areas. So do we do it enough? Probably not enough in this season. And so, as Pastor Jason said, this is a season of shifting and a realignment and things like that. And so we're trying to do many different things. We have not done so in the last several years as far as like teaching specifically about Holy Spirit. And I think that panels like this and discussions like this kind of help. But it has been, we have been in a season as a church for the last several years of realignment, bringing some things, and now we're continuing that in a different way.
Has anybody ever heard a message on marriage here? Should we teach on marriage too? What about discipleship? What about reaching the nations? So, I understand where probably the question is, man. It's life-changing, Holy Spirit. But I see a lot of practical application that doesn't happen. And so we want to have a balance. And you know, I think we work really hard, y'all, of trying to do the best we can. We're not going to be able to help or meet everybody right where they are. We try to. But some people are just going to have a stronger desire, and I want you to walk in that. We're going to try to do the best we can. We all rely on the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We want to operate in the gifts. We want people to be empowered, all of that. So keep praying, because how many know the Lord will speak to us pretty clearly. But just keep praying. Keep praying for us that we're hearing well and we're leading well and that we're listening.
I think at the end of the day, too, just a closing thought, enough will never be enough. Like, if we were to poll everybody, at what point is enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, on any topic. And so I think it really goes back to, do you trust that you're supposed to be here at Good News? Do you trust the leadership that's on that panel? Do you trust that they hear from Jesus and that they love him and that they're accountable at the end of the day? Because enough will never be enough. So.
All right, one last thing. So we had a couple of questions about who we, like Bethel. I forgot, what is the new apostolic something another new? Okay. So I need you to know where I stand. Okay. I don't know that I agree with any church 100% or any other leader in our city, our state, our nation. So what we tend to do is we tend to focus on good things that somebody is doing. Where we disagree, I'm like, well, God bless you. You guys need to figure that out. So if there's fruit in something, I'm okay with that. If there's something where people are off, and there's people in our congregation I know I disagree with. Do I cast you aside? Do I cast you out? I don't. I don't know anything about a new Reformation anything. What I'm concerned about is what we're going to do in Omaha, Nebraska at Good News Church. And so I honor people. God bless you. We're not trying to be anybody else except who we are. And I need you to know that. So I'm not influenced by this movement or that movement. I want what God wants to do here. And if I think somebody adds value to Good News or to our people, then we'll think of bringing people in to leave that deposit. But I don't know that I'm going to agree with everybody or anybody that comes into this church 100%. And that's just being honest, because there's different views in Scripture. That's why we have Baptists. That's why we have Methodists. That's why we have certain, you know, even within the Assemblies of God, there's differences of opinion. And so we need to, where we agree, unity, where we disagree, charity. And I hope our church understands that and walks in that, and that we don't become divisive because people don't agree exactly the way that we do. Okay.
Do you guys on the panel all agree on certain things?
No, on everything?
Yeah, that's
you do agree. Right, like, now you agree.
No, I'm just kidding.
But that's just that's just making it human. That's the reality of who we are. So is that good time-wise, or? Is there something,
is there a shout out,
Pastor Chris, that you wanted to?
The apostolic thing.
Oh, you want, you want to? That's like, that's a very long question. I don't know that a majority of people were asking that, to be honest.
Okay. I'm not even familiar, I don't think, with the question right now.
So. Email goodnews.church.
And here's the thing. I hope we can continue to have discussions. Yeah. What I don't like is I like bringing things into the light. What stays in the dark grows.
Come on.
Bring it into the light. Ask us questions. Yeah. And here's the thing. Even if we disagree, we can still walk together. It doesn't mean that, that we have to be subversive to one another. I honor people that I disagree with highly because I look at the fruit in their life and I go, okay, where, you know, where I see your fruit, I'm in agreement. And it's okay that you believe that way. That's not going to break our friendship or my trust or any of those things. I really, it bothers me when certain lines are drawn in the sand and now we can't be together in something. We have something called Within Reach, right? And that's 30 or 40 churches from all denominations trying to work together to impact our city. What would happen, do you think, if people didn't want tongues to be a part? Because there are churches that don't agree with tongues and they excluded us, right? Well, we choose to work together even if they don't agree and us operating the gifts, our view on the Holy Spirit, are in tongues. I choose to extend that same grace. I know what I believe. I know who I am. You're not going to influence me, but I'm going to still work with you.
I mean, the fact that you're a Tide fan in the midst of Husker fans, as this gentleman pointed out, he still honors you.
So there are things that divide us that shouldn't divide us. So there are the absolute truths that Jesus Christ is the only way, that because of his sacrifice on the cross, we have access to the Father, that we have eternal life, that God himself came, died, went to heaven. Now we have the Spirit of God, the Comforter in us, right? That there are things that we do not need to divide over, like, do you speak in tongues? That God still heal? Did God speak to his people and through his people? Hey, guess what? If you don't believe that healing is for today, then you could continue to be sick. If you're okay with that, then be okay with that. I'm not okay with that. But that's my personal conviction, right? And how I see the scriptures. But if you think that was just in the Bible times, God bless you, but I'm still going to love you. And you're still going to be part of the family. You get what I'm saying? So when I hear Pastor Jason, the heart is like, let's know the things that unite us. Those are the primary things. Then there's secondary issues that shouldn't divide us.
That we should be known what we're for instead of what we're against. So
only one more thing. One more thing. I know.
Said the pastor.
Wow. So here's what I want you to know, that we're actually submitted to one another. All right. So, because sometimes what happens, very prophetic people or people get concerned if we say something, you know, are we going off in a direction or are we going to miss God? We honor the Lord. We've given our life. I don't know what else to do. We actually listen to our congregation. We trust feedback. I want you to know that we earnestly love God. Earnestly. We pray, we seek, we want nothing but the best for you and what the Lord wants in our church. And I mean that 100%. So I am submitted to this group. They can bring anything at any time to me, and I submit myself to them. So I just want you to know that. I want you to have confidence in our team. We're not always going to be perfect, and we're not always going to get it right. But we're always submitting ourselves before the Lord and to our congregation to go, we're listening. So I just want you to be able to have some peace in that.
We want to take just the last few minutes here. And if anybody would like prayer, we didn't do that earlier in the service. But if you'd like prayer for maybe you need healing, maybe you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe you would like somebody to pray over you to release the gifts of the Spirit, I invite you to come now. And that we're going to, and those of you that were just on the panel, where did you go? Come on. We're going to pray for these people. And so we're probably not going to have a real formal dismiss. We got 10 more minutes before the kids are released. So we got plenty of time. Anybody? Let's stand. I feel like there's things stirring in the house even right now that God wants. There's things that he wants to release into your life. Look at this. She's already here. She's ready to go. Can we have some people come pray for these people that are coming? There's gifts you've never operated in. They're available for each one as the Lord deems necessary for the profit of all. If you want us to lay hands on you tonight, we'd love to do that. If you need healing in your body, maybe healing in a marriage, healing in a relationship, we'd love to pray for you tonight.